listening to a Goldsmiths University of London podcast. Okay, so I'm Kate Devlin, I'm a lecturer in the computer department here at Goldsmiths. And I've been working here for about 6 or 7 years now. And I don't normally have a lot of notes when I'm talking, I usually just work from the slides, but I had so much and so many different things that I wanted to talk about today that I've got it down on paper. So, as women, we consume technology, and we use our mobile phones and our laptops, our tablets and our MP3 players. And we're actually the dominant voice on social media. 55% of social media users are women. And we're very comfortable and familiar with apps. We take digital photos, we upload videos, and all our writing is online as well. So we know we're consumers, but why aren't we also innovators? Digital skills are essential in our lives today, and in the technology sector, however, only 17% of the workforce is female. It's 17%, and it's actually declined because 10 years ago it was 22%. Now, when I mentioned the other day at an induction meeting that I'll be talking about this, I had a half-joking response from someone saying, well, what about men in computing? What indeed? We'll get back to that later on. But let's start with why I want to run an event like this. So women are underrepresented in computer science, and that includes industry as well as academia. This is well known, but it's not particularly well understood. So we know it's the case, but the question is, right, so we are underrepresented, is it a problem? Is the underrepresentation of women in computing in some way due to unfairness? Well, you could say that no, it's not down to unfairness. After all, if women choose not to follow a career in computing, there's nothing unethical about that. But we can dismiss this argument. We know that discrimination against women does exist, particularly in STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, maths. It may not always be overt discrimination, but there are plenty of ways of making someone feel uncomfortable or feel that they don't belong in a group. So I want to just be a bit anecdotal and tell you an example from my own life, my own career. So about 5 years ago, I went to a technology conference, and I was one of the keynote speakers, which meant that someone had decided that my work was important enough to invite me along and put me up in a rather swanky hotel, which was very nice, and they gave me some time to talk to the conference about my research. And at the conference dinner that evening, I was talking to a group of people as we went to sit down to eat. And one of the men in the group, who was a sales rep for the technology that I use, said to me, why don't you sit beside my wife and you two can talk about girl stuff? And this is a man who had come to the conference to do some business networking and to shift some expensive units of technology. I had come to that conference to talk about the groundbreaking things I'd done with the technology he was selling. And I did go and sit with his wife because I felt so sorry for her being married to him. Was I discriminated against in that case? Well, I haven't been discouraged from presenting my work because I'd actually been invited by a male panel of conference organisers. But I had to be made to feel by one person that I wasn't part of the group, like I didn't belong, and like I had no valid contribution to make. I was made to feel uncomfortable, and it was the sort of casual sexism that we often face day to day, where it doesn't even occur to the person being sexist that they are being sexist. So think about the last time, if you're a woman, think about the last time that someone, a stranger, told you to cheer up or smile when you're walking down the street. And now imagine them saying it to a random man. I've never seen it happen. So I started out in higher education by doing an undergraduate degree in archaeology. So I do have an arts background of sorts. And archaeology is incredibly gender balanced. It's roughly 50-50 in terms of male and female students, and in the literal fields as well. So when people start working, that's when they graduate. And no one ever in my time as an archaeologist, and I worked with one for a while, made any comments on my ability based on my gender. It was expected that everyone did the same tasks, whether that was pushing a wheelbarrow, writing a report, handling the shovel. Everyone pitched in. And in fact, my bosses were just as likely to be female as they were male. Now, suppose perhaps women, on average, find computing less enjoyable and more unpleasant than other activities. Now, why is that? Well, since we were children, the opinions of others influence how we dress, how we act and behave and work. And even if we actively shun these opinions, we're still very susceptible to the unrelenting messages that are so implicit in society about what our role should be. We learn, all of us, men and women, what we are supposed to like, according to society. And we learn that if we digress from this stereotype, we're going to face problems, and not least that we'll have a hell of a battle trying to be accepted. So when Belinda Palmer, who is the founder of Little Miss Geek, now Little Miss Geek is a campaign to go out into schools and encourage girls to take up computing at a higher level in higher education. Now when she went to talk to a class of 14-year-old boys and girls about the tech industry, she asked them to draw a picture of someone in the IT industry. And most of the class inevitably drew a stereotypical, overweight, geeky-looking person with glasses. But every single member of that class drew a man. Example. But he would be old and his hair would be overgrown because he doesn't care what he looks like, he only cares about computers. A little unfair, I think. When I was doing my PhD in computer science at a rather traditional university, I was one of three women out of about 30 or so research students. And I got on very well with my cohort, and I suspect that part of that was my whole "I'm just one of the blokes" attitude, because, you know, I'd seen Star Wars, you know, I could talk about things like that. And I wasn't deliberately trying to cultivate that attitude, and I think it was just how life had been for me, especially coming from a background like archaeology. But I do really distinctly remember the day that I wore a skirt into the labs, and all my friends seemed really shocked, all my male friends seemed shocked. And I can't work out if it's because they suddenly realised that I was female, or if it was because I suddenly showed some kind of interest in clothing, because we are not known for our interest in fashion. But I had broken some kind of stereotype that they had about what a woman in computing should be like. So technology in computing has a big marketing problem. And there's academic research to back this up. Studies carried out at the University of Washington found that women are discouraged from computer science when they encounter stereotypes such as the male, pizza-eating, Star Trek-watching geek. And they set this up, this experiment, and they got women who were going to be choosing university courses, and they took them into a lab where it was, you know, there were cans of Mountain Dew and posters of Star Trek on the wall, and a guy sitting in a black t-shirt, coding away in a dark room. Unsurprisingly, quite a lot of the women didn't find it that appealing. And then they took another group into a room where it was nice and bright and airy, and, you know, nothing sort of stereotypically feminine about it. It was just a very neutral environment. And the girls that were in that group, many more of them signed up for computer science courses. So when they're presented with this more neutral environment, they're more likely to feel comfortable and to choose a class in computing. I think that XKCD cartoon strip sums this up very, very well. So there's this myth that boys are born with more natural mathematical ability and scientific ability than girls. The fact is, there is no scientific proof. The only things that hold girls back in this case is an outdated stereotype. Someone's bad at maths, a man is bad at maths, they say, "Wow, you suck at math." When it becomes a girl who's bad at maths, it's all girls. You know, it's all girls are bad at maths. If you're told that there are no great women mathematicians, and there have never been any great women mathematicians, consider that it could be because women have never had a chance to be great mathematicians. I'm convinced that someday my department's going to find out that I'm rubbish at maths. And I'm not actually that terrible at maths. Occasionally I use it for my research, but the maths I use is really purely on a need-to-know basis. Meanwhile, I'm convinced that everyone else in my department can speak fluent calculus, and they dream in eigenvectors. I don't even know an eigenvector is. I wouldn't know if it hit me up, please. This is not an unusual way to fail, and this is known as imposter syndrome. So how often have you fought the following? "Well, I'm not any good at writing, all my nice reviews are just people being nice to me," or "I'm not a real programmer, I just do a little bit of code to get the job done," or "If I ask a question, everyone's going to think I don't know what I'm talking about," or just generally, "Oh crap, I don't have a clue, they're going to find out I don't have a clue." So if any of those are familiar, there's an excellent chance that you're actually perfectly fine at what you're doing, you're probably good at it, you're just a victim of imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome is this incorrect feeling that you're a fraud, that you're not skilled enough for your role, and that you're going to be found out, you're going to be exposed as a fraud. And more people than you realise will have imposter syndrome, including people you respect. It's for a very simple reason. If you're afraid of being exposed as a fraud, you're never going to tell anyone you feel that way. Now, a group called the ADA Initiative that supports and campaigns for women in open technology has a lot of good advice on this. And they say it's a completely rational response, being if you're being called an imposter over and over again, if women aren't supposed to be good at things according to stereotype, they're more likely to face imposter syndrome. It's really unlikely they're going to say, no, I'm fine at it, I'll show you. More than likely, they're going to say, yeah, okay, we're not that good at it. When your community starts to tell you over and over again that you're an imposter at something, you start to believe it. And the result is, particularly in women, particularly in academia, in addition to being undermined by others, people start undermining themselves. They start internalizing that criticism. And so we choose easier tasks that we believe are more suited to our skills. We apply for lower level jobs than we really should. We don't speak at conferences, we don't set up role models, we turn down media opportunities because we feel we don't really have anything to offer others and we feel that someone else is an expert. Now in 6 years of teaching computer science, I don't have actual scientific stats on this, but I will say across the 6 years, it's usually, the majority of times, that males in the class will be much more likely to answer a question or to show with some confidence that they know what they're talking about, as opposed to women who tend to be much more hesitant. That's my experience as a lecturer. So even if we know that we have this imposter syndrome, we still have to spend all this energy fighting our instincts to sort of hide what we can do. So there are ways around this, and again, the ADA Initiative have come up with a list of these. So they say, talk about the issue with people you trust. And if you hear that other people are also feeling this way, it becomes hard to believe that you're a fraud too. You just think, well, everyone's a bit like that. Ask your friends what they think of you, because usually other people are going to have an opinion on your work, and it's usually going to be a bit higher than your own opinion. So let them tell you that what you've done is actually quite good. You can say, oh yeah, I did win that award after all. Too bad. Teach others about the field. We gain confidence if we can share knowledge. One of the best ways, as Ray was saying, is to be practical, be hands-on, to make mistakes. And if we can then share what we know with other people, we're going to feel much more confident and much more in charge. Ask questions when we don't know things. It's quite scary. And always, 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 people in lectures hate asking questions. They have to drag questions out of people at times. But the thing is, everyone else is sitting there desperate to ask the same question, but no one has the nerve. So you can guarantee that if someone in a lecture wants to ask a question, there'll be 10 other people wanting to ask the same question. So if you ask this, if you're sitting there thinking, well, only an imposter wouldn't know this, everyone else knows this, just ask it. You know, you're going to look even worse if you don't ask it and you struggle to keep up. Own your accomplishments. So keep recording and reviewing what you've done and be proud of it. Look at the successes that you've had and enjoy them. And reorientate yourself around your values and your worth. Show your work and reflect on your core values and how your work reflects the things that you do and you want to do. So back to the question that I was asked initially about what about the men? What about the men? The men I have encountered in my time as a computer scientist, as an academic and as a programmer in industry have pretty much overwhelmingly been incredibly supportive and encouraging. The problem is not the men. The problem is the bias setup. The problem is the social expectation. The problem is the lack of opportunity, and the problem is stereotyping. Not all the men that I have encountered have even noticed that there is a problem. And that's not really surprising, as they are the ones experiencing the problems. So education is vital for all of us, for boys and girls as they move through their school lives, for us in academia wanting to share knowledge and research with our students, and for everyone in industry who wants to see that a workplace that represents the real world. So there are a couple of things that I think are really core to this event today. And the first is that feminism is not a dirty word. You're here, you know that. Feminism often has these connotations of really angry men hitting women. And that is a stereotype. Here's a simple way to check if you're a feminist. Do you believe that people should have equal opportunities? You do? Great, congratulations, you're a feminist. Enjoy it. It's not a political movement, there are no set of rules, you don't have to agree with specific policies, it's just a matter of wanting the same opportunities for everyone, male or female. The second thing is that the field of technology and computer science is what we make it. We don't have to listen to those stereotypes or stick with all the tried and tested ways of doing things. So think about what you want from technology and then go out and make it. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you for listening.